Well, we just wrapped up yesterday our celebration of the Advent, the first coming of Jesus. And, thank you, Scotty. But I want us to say that the hard part about this year was having it fall on a Saturday. Next year, Christmas will be on Sunday. That will be interesting, because your traditions are going to come to bear on one another on that day, but we want to move, as my brother said in his prayer this morning for our offering, that now that we've celebrated the coming of Jesus, we need to move forward and think about why he came, right? Why did he come? And I know that this sounds like a Sunday school question, and you've got your Sunday school color sheets, and we're going to study what we would call a Sunday school lesson in the sense that this is Zacchaeus. I almost thought about breaking out the guitar again and singing that song with you about Zacchaeus, the wee little man, except that I'm so overly offended by the fact that they would call him wee. He's just short, just like me. He's just short. It's okay to be a short guy. Sometimes it makes you a good guy, like he is in this story. But we're going to look at Zacchaeus, and I want us to think, today, we're going to look at it from three different perspectives. And I want us to think today, as we're moving forward, how we ought to be following Christ and what it means, what it would look like if we followed Christ, and also what it doesn't look like. Because I think we have all the right pictures in one little story. And so if we can get past his wee stature and we can get past the weirdness of him climbing a tree, we can get to the meat of the discussion that I think is trying to be had here in this particular place. And so if you'll turn to Luke chapter 19, I know we just went to Luke chapter 2 with the Christmas story, now we're going to jump all the way to 19, but open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 19 and stand with me in the honor of reading of God's Word this morning. And we're going to read this passage together, Luke 19, 1 through 10. See if this is going to work yet. Not working. The whole phone or?
I restarted it already, but it won't.
Yeah, I think we're having Wi-Fi issues today. You just have to bear with us. Bear with us. If any, you know what? Wait a second. I'm sorry, folks. I know this is awful. But there might be some people dependent on that video, so if I can. I'm going to get rid of the Wi-Fi and see if I can just use my phone.
Might be Facebook.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, it's been a while since we've had those troubles. But here we find ourselves. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. He, being Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your word and the message that's contained therein. And I can only hope and pray, Father, that today we would hear the message from this passage and understand the meaning of what your Son came to do and why it's so important to us. And that as we begin to think about our next year, as we begin to plan forward into 2022, it's imperative, Father, that we be touched by you today, that you would reach down into our hearts and help us to understand that so much of this life needs to be about this thought, that we would be seeking to go out and find the lost and to help them find Jesus, that so much rides on it, that so many of the things that we do will burn and fade away when we come into the kingdom. But those that we help find you, Lord, they will come with us. So important is this ministry, Lord. It's such a great honor to have been given the ministry. And yet, Father, sometimes we treat it as if it's something less, or not significant, or not important. And with the years that we've had coming forward, Lord, there's so many reasons to be away from the ministry, so many things that are coming against us as if Satan has turned on all that he has to keep us from witnessing, to keep us from ministering, to keep us from loving. Lord, we could sure use some help. So I pray that you'll be with us today. Give us that help. Help us to see clearly today. Help us to be renewed and refreshed and understand, Father, how important this is. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to call him Zach today. We're going to get personal here. So old Zach, he has his perspective on that day. Like many of us, when he arrived at that moment, he was thinking about himself and he was thinking about his needs. He was thinking about what he wanted and how he wanted to go about it, what he was looking for. And all of it was him in his mind. And the interesting thing about Zacchaeus, as you look, the guys at the 4 o'clock study, at the deep study, have been looking at healing for a year and a half now or something. And in all of that, as we've arrived at the Gospels and we're working our way through those, we realize that so much of what Jesus did was about healing. He healed so many people that it got to the point where it would just say, Jesus entered a town and he healed all who were sick and lame and everything else and could do this or that. Scotty, can you push that forward? I cannot, brother. It's not working. Thank you. But Zacchaeus doesn't have those problems. He's one of the few people in the Gospels that come to Jesus without some kind of physical or spiritual in the sense that he's not possessed by a devil. He's not blind. He can talk. He doesn't come to him asking him for stature. He's not looking to be taller. He doesn't have that kind of a request. Zacchaeus just wants to find out about Jesus. He's a rich man. He's got wealth. He has very few needs, I'm sure. But we're going to discover that he has some very important needs in his life that people don't consider very often. Needs that a lot of people in our culture today struggle with that we don't see. They may have enough money to pay the bills and they may not have physical impairments, but there's something in them that is a desperate need. Zach comes and he just wants to see who Jesus is. I think it's significant in the passage today. He just wants to see who Jesus is. And by that, I think that we're to understand that he wants to know what Jesus is about. This isn't about just seeing him in the flesh. This is about somebody who's on the outside, who's heard things about Jesus and wants to understand who he is. This is what maybe 10, 15 years ago they were looking at as the seeker, the person who was potentially looking to know Christ or to understand him. He would like to know who Jesus is. But here's what's interesting. As a metaphor, he can't see Jesus because of his followers. He's in a crowd of people that are preventing him, without attempting to, preventing him from seeing Jesus. He wants to see Jesus. He can't see Jesus. Why? Because the followers. The followers are all drawing close. They're all jockeying for position. They all want to be near Jesus. Everybody wants to be near Jesus. And what's happening is the people who I'm going to call the church, because they were the followers of Jesus, which essentially is what the church becomes. So pre-church, the church, these are people who are following Jesus, and they are the ones that are preventing him from seeing Jesus. He just wants to see the Lord, but he can't because of the followers. Let that soak in for a second. So he climbs a tree, right? And that's a weird thing, right? I'm sure that it was not the normal habit for people, for adults to be up in trees any more than it would be today. If you saw somebody up in a tree, what would you think? Pause for a moment. You wide loop, deer season, okay, yeah. But not with crowds, right? Not with crowds. Zach's really wanted to see Jesus. And he's willing to do this embarrassing thing, right? He's already a small guy who can't see because of the crowd. Now further embarrassment comes as he climbs up in a tree to solve his issue. But he's willing to do it because he really wants to see Jesus. The interesting part is he really wasn't looking to meet Jesus. Isn't that funny? I know that there's a lot of people out there today that aren't looking to meet Jesus. That's what we want them to do. We want them to meet Jesus, but they just want to know who he is. They would just like to see him. Zacchaeus needed to see Jesus because he wasn't seeing Jesus in his followers. His followers were the ones doing the preventing, the blocking of the view. While he wasn't looking to meet Jesus, he ends up meeting Jesus, which is a fantastic thing. He ends up meeting Jesus, and when he does, he's overjoyed that Jesus wants to meet him and stay with him. Now, I want to take a side note for just a second. The Lord, who says, you know, people say, I would follow you, Lord, and he says, look, the foxes have dens, and, you know, I forget what the other is, but I have nowhere to lay my head. When Jesus comes to town, he picks the rich guy and says, I'm staying at your house tonight. I love that part. I don't know if you picked that up. I love that. He's not just staying in any house. He's going to go stay in Zach's house, which is probably well apportioned. It's probably well done up. But old Zach, he's in overjoyed at the fact that Jesus wants to meet with him. But as he's climbing down out of the tree, he's got to deal with the crowd again. But this time in an even more difficult way. Because for Zach, when he comes down, he's a tax collector. He's a traitor. He's somebody who works with Rome, much hated by all of the people that he knows in his community. He's gotten rich off of them, and they don't appreciate it. And so when he climbs down and Jesus is wanting to go and stay in his house, the church grumbles. Can you guys grumble? Do it for me. Yeah, yeah. We got a lot of practice in the church, amen? We grumble about a lot of things. We grumble about what the Lord does, how he does it, how fast he does it. There's a lot of things to grumble about. We're upset at certain things. There could be people walk through that door today that would make you grumble. Because we're no different than the crowd of his day in some ways. We obscure the lost person's view of the Lord. Because instead of casting out that view and saying, here's what the Lord looks like by the way that we walk, we're doing the opposite. In front of them. 2021, I'm sure at some point you gave somebody the wrong impression about who the Lord is as a follower of his. We all fail. We all stumble. This crowd stumbles in this moment. They poor guy couldn't see because he's too short. Nobody offers to let him come up front and say, hey, let's let the short people up front so they can see. I love it when you all do that because it makes me feel so good. And I think that then when he comes down out of the tree, he's overjoyed because Jesus wants to stay with him, and he's met with grumblies, right? This guy is a sinner, and you're going to stay with him? Why is the Lord staying with him? Why isn't he staying at my house? I'm a way better human being. Look at how much I love, but not that guy. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't realize that they're following Jesus on his mission, but they're not in the mission yet. Do you hear what I'm saying? They have not yet joined him on that mission. They want to make sure that they're in the mission, that they're part of this thing, but they haven't picked up on the fact that Jesus wants to expand it just a wee bit with this wee little man. And so Zacchaeus does what so many people do. But I want you to look at your text because it's really important what he says here. He says, after the crowd grumbled, Zacchaeus, in verse 8, he says, he stood and he said to the Lord, I love this part. Zacchaeus feels no need to answer his accusers directly. He doesn't take his complaint to the crowd because he knows he won't get a hearing. He goes to the Lord and he makes his, you know, the Lord is hearing the grumbling of the crowd. Poor Zac is going, oh no, he's not going to let me take him home. He's not going to come and stay with me. All this is going to be ruined. I've got to protect this. And so he responds in a righteous way. It's hard to tell why Zac does this, but he responds with righteousness. He says, you know what? I know why they don't like me, because I've done wrong. And he says, so I'm telling you, Lord, that up to half of what I have, I'm giving to the poor. And if I have defrauded anybody, I'm going to give them fourfold back what I did. It's an immature way to respond, but it's a right way. It's the way that a brand new baby Christian will respond to the Lord, right? All that they know is, I'm wrong. I've been wrong. So here's my plan to get right. Not realizing that it's going to be Jesus that makes him right, but Jesus accepts that from him. He loves this guy. And he says so because he said, salvation has come to your house this day. You don't even realize what has just taken place, my friend, but salvation has come. And Zacchaeus goes home to house the Lord, which is another beautiful metaphoric picture. Amen. Get saved, and now the Lord is going to come in and dwell with him forever. So Zacchaeus is the sinner. He does what is uncomfortable and weird. He finds what he's looking for because he went looking. And he gets saved in the process, and joy comes to his household. But now let's look at the church's perspective, right? We don't have to change the pictures because the church is already there. Who's looking at Zacchaeus? Nobody. At this point, nobody cares about Zac at all. They don't care. Poor little guy's up in a tree. They don't care. Let him stay. That's where he belongs, separated from us, different from us, not like us, a traitor to us. He can just sit up there. And that can be our attitude. Sometimes when we look on people, those folks are evil, they're wrong, they've done horrible things, they can just take their punishment. They can just be ostracized and separated. They can just go off by themselves. If we could put them all on an island, how many of you? If we could just put them on an island, oh, how wonderful the world would be. But it wouldn't, because you're still here. Amen? The church is still here. And as long as we're here, they're still sinners. And that was the problem with the crowd. They label him a sinner. He's going to have, but they don't realize that they're just the same. They're just the same. They're busy. Look, they're busy looking at Jesus. Is that a good thing? Set your eyes upon Jesus, but not to the detriment of the lost. You can look so much at Jesus that you miss the mission, right? You can go to heaven with the most knowledge of all time and have not done what that knowledge was supposed to produce in you. You can be a tree without bearing fruit. They're all too busy to consider Zac. They've all got too much going on to consider Zac. They're not worried about Zac. Zac doesn't need to be healed physically. He doesn't have any demon possession. And he's certainly got plenty of money. And they're not looking to help him any more than they have to. Because that's how we all treat the government. So nobody sees Zac except Jesus. And then when Jesus does see Zac and invites him down to go stay with him, instead of being overjoyed like the angels that another sinner has been saved, they grumble about it. They're upset that they're saved. It's almost as if they don't want him to be saved, as if there are certain people or classes of people that we don't want to be saved. Maybe there were some in the crowd that had sympathy for old Zach, but they waited for Jesus to do the work. They weren't seeking him out. They weren't looking to help. They didn't lift a finger. They view Zach as the wrong kind of person. The wrong kind of person. We were here Friday night at midnight, a small smattering of us. And we're having our candlelight service starting at 11:45 while the rest of you were sleeping, nestled snug in your beds. We were up here worshiping, and as we were worshiping, somebody was concerned, one of our neighbors was concerned that we were here, or that, not that we were here, they didn't know who was here. And evidently, there had been some of the kids, you know, when it's 55 degrees on Christmas Eve, kids are going to wander like it's summer, right? So evidently, there were some kids in the neighborhood that they thought were up to no good. All of a sudden, they see that there's lights on in the church. They're concerned for us that something has gone awry. Somebody's left the door open, whatever. So they call the police. So at about 11:55, as I'm reading the Christmas story out of Luke 2, right about the middle, somebody opens the door and begins to holler. Oh, I can't hear anymore, so I'm not. I just know somebody's here, but I'm thinking, Scotty, I honestly thought it was you. He sounded a little bit like you, and I thought, well, get in. Don't stand out there making noise. Just get in here. Well, it'd be fine. But then Rachel says, there's a cop. We better go out and see him. And I'm like, a cop? What are we doing? So we all get up, take our candles out into the foyer. It's dark, right? We just have that Christmas tree lit up. And here's one of our Oak Grove policemen, you know, and we go through a little conversation with him, and he's okay with everything. He says, I'm glad everything's okay, and we wished him a Merry Christmas, because I start to feel bad. I'm like, oh, this poor guy, he's out at midnight watching the streets, right? And I thought, what a hard thing. And so we wished him a Merry Christmas. He went on his way, and what I could think when I was thinking about the message for today was, it's weird how people view each other, right? It's weird. Sometimes they thought that we were up here doing harm when, in fact, we were here worshiping the Lord. It was just us. It was just us. By the way, I had a conversation with a neighbor that did that, and they'll be coming and joining us next year. I said, well, if you're going to be up that late on New Year or on Christmas Eve, you might as well come join us. And she said, my husband said the same thing. So maybe we'll have some more next year. But they viewed Zach in a bad way. We view people in bad ways. There are people that we don't want to step into life with, that we want to keep at a distance because they're different than us, or they're going to be difficult to handle or difficult to be around or whatever it may be, and we just don't want to step in, or maybe we don't like them because of the sin, or the sin has harmed us. There's a myriad of reasons that we don't do this ministry. Jesus has and practices none of that. He doesn't do any of that. It didn't matter who he met, what the circumstances were. We find the apostles all the time going, hey, quiet down over there. Right? Blind people are trying to get healed, and they're like, would you quiet down already? Or the children are coming, and he's like, this is not the time for children. And all the time, Jesus is going, why are you hindering people? Why are you keeping people away from me? He was here to seek and to save the lost. The church's perspective was skewed. They didn't understand what the mission was. And so we look at Jesus' perspective. Out of the crowd, Jesus sees Zach, right? He's walking along, probably doing some teaching, and he looks up in the tree, and here's this guy. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Of all the people that he's with and all the things that he's doing, he pauses for just a moment to look up into that tree and see Zacchaeus. But the question I want to pose to you this morning is, do you think that the fact that Zacchaeus was in the tree is why Jesus found him that day? Do you think that the fact that he climbed the tree is the reason that Jesus saw him and met him and was saved that day? Or was it, as Jesus said, that he had come to seek and to save the lost, And Zacchaeus was just one of them that he was planning on meeting that day. Just so happened he found him in a tree. You see, the interesting thing that we want to understand today is that Jesus is going to find the lost anyway, right? Without our help, he's going to find lost people. He's going to save lost people. His arm has not been shortened. He is not in a position where he's going to struggle to find the lost. The problem is he wanted us to do that work. How long am I going to be with you, he would say. And his point was, I'm not going to be here to do this work all the time. I'm leaving this work to you to do. I want you to follow me, and by following me, you're also going to seek and bring the lost to me. You see, for Jesus, here's the difference between Jesus and the church. The church finds Zacchaeus to be a nuisance, a difficulty, a traitor, a problem. Jesus sees him as purpose. How different is that? Think about it for just a moment. When you see somebody who doesn't know Jesus, who is saying non-Jesus things, who is offending your sensibilities and all the rest, you can look at them and be offended, which is very natural and worldly, or you can see purpose. And that guy needs Jesus. Think of somebody, right? Can we say that together? That guy needs Jesus. I mean, he just needs Jesus. She needs Jesus. There are people in your life that you look at and you go, wow, wow. How much further away could you get? They need Jesus. Jesus sees purpose. The crowd saw nuisance, difficulty, struggle. If there's one thing we've learned in 2021, everybody can be a victim. Everybody can be offended. Everybody can chirp about having their own way. And none of it looks like Jesus. Amen? None of it. Every time you're offended, you need to sit and think for a moment and go, that's not what Jesus would do. If you want to know what he would do, not that. Not that. There was plenty of stuff that should have offended Jesus that didn't. Not even Zacchaeus being up in a tree. That's weird stuff, man. You find a guy up in a tree, you're not likely to go over and talk, but Jesus was. He'd go right on over and go, hey, come on down. Think about the level though, okay? Pause for just a second. Not only does he see purpose, Jesus doesn't step in and go, hey, let's visit. He says, we're going to your house. Can you imagine? Now, granted, Jesus knows more about Zacchaeus than you and I would about some guy in a tree. But can you imagine going to the guy in a tree and going, hey, 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 come on down. We're going to your house. That's the level. That's the level of pursuit that our Lord is willing to go to. Think about how hard he had to pursue you. I know how hard he had to pursue me. There was a lot that had to be worked on in me before I came to him. I didn't climb trees, honey. I climbed water towers. Amen. The Lord found me, and the Lord finds you in your own weird place, as a sinner away from him, just like he's going to find everybody else that he brings into the kingdom. When you find those people, you have to decide whether or not they're going to be a pain or a purpose. Because Jesus is interested in adding to the flock. Jesus tells the story, right, about the fact that if he's got one that's lost, because that's what he's going to call Zacchaeus, right? He's one of the sons of Abraham. I'm here to seek and to save the lost. The imagery is there. This is about a shepherd finding a sheep who's gone astray, who's not doing what he ought to. Jesus is out there doing that work. He's the one who would leave the 99 to go get the one. Now, it doesn't mean that the one is more important than the 99. Or that he would be satisfied with the 99 coming to destruction or other. What it means is, you're already saved, church. He doesn't have to save you. You're no longer the mission. You are supposed to be partners on the mission. Right? You're supposed to be engaging with him on the outreach. The church is not the church when we're together in here. The church is actually the church when we're out there doing the work that Jesus has for us. Finding the guys, the weird guys in the tree. He's pleased with Zach's joy and his change of heart. He loves this guy and he's going to go stay with him because he doesn't care. He's got that wonderful ability, right? Everybody's grumbling and he says what? I'm going to your house, Zach. Let's go. Y'all, quiet down. I'm going to your house. Who gets blessed that day, church? Who gets blessed that day? Say it. Zacchaeus. He's the one. Does the crowd get blessed? I don't think so. How do you think they felt when they went home? Confused, some of them. Angry, some of them. Bitter, some of them. Right? Guilty, some of them. The only one that got blessed was Zacchaeus. Who could have been blessed that day? Man, a lot more of them. If anybody had gone up to that tree and said, Zach, come on down, get up front here, you can see Jesus. If anybody had been kind to him, anybody would have shown him the love of God, anybody would have had mercy or forgiveness or any of that, they would have had blessing as well. But they didn't. Because they didn't. So what's our perspective to be? As we walk our little Zacchaeus. What's our perspective supposed to be? Look, church, I don't know how to tell you any other way. We cannot sit here and wait for people to show up. Right? We cannot expect the blessings to continue if we're not engaged in the work. We could be, next year at this time, sitting in a brand new sanctuary with 100 chairs and thinking we still have enough chairs. Or we could be sitting here next year at this time having another shipment, taking who knows how long. We'll have to order in April so that they might get here by November. But wouldn't it be a great problem to have next year? Wouldn't it be great to be sitting here next year and going, look at what the Lord has done? Wouldn't it be great if next year we didn't struggle with the bitterness, we didn't struggle with the strife and the difficulties, but instead we were just experiencing blessing upon blessing upon blessing. I know that some of you are thinking to yourselves right now, I have no neighbors, or I've talked to everybody I've ever known. I've already witnessed to them. I've already shared Jesus with them. I want you to understand that you can take the most difficult one of those people who has refused to come to Jesus, and you could go back to that tree 100 times. And maybe this time you're doing what the Lord did, because I don't know if you catch it. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but didn't necessarily know if he wanted to meet Jesus. And when Jesus finally sees him up in the tree, what does he say? Come down. We are going to your house today. He doesn't ask. He calls him to it. Now, I know some of you know about all the old sales techniques, how to close a sale, how to make sure that they buy your product, and that's not what I'm talking about here. But what I am talking about is the idea that some people need us to step in a little harder. Amen? They're doing this. No, 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 no. Because I did this. I did this for 6 months. I did this. Even hung up on my brother. I refused to hear what he had to say about the Lord. But you know what he did? He came to the tree every day and he said, hey, come down. Come down. It's like you with your children, right? Kids up the tree. don't want to come down. They're angry about something or afraid of something and they don't want to come down. You just have to keep going. Come down. You come down. Now, I don't suggest you threaten them with spankings. That's not what I'm talking. I'm saying sometimes you got to step in a little harder and go, look, look. This is not going to end well for you. I don't know what you think is coming, but it's not as pleasant as you think. The Lord promised that if you would confess him with your mouth, right, and believe in your heart, that you would be saved, but he also promised that those who don't do that are not going to be happy in the end. And beyond that, they're not happy right now, and sometimes you got to tell people that, right? My brother dealt with people with addictions and those kind of habits all the time, and the truth is sometimes you got to say, look, that is awful. I'm just going to tell you, it's not okay, it's not good, it's not right, it's awful. You are miserable and you don't even know it yet. They need to be told to come down. Come down. Come down out of that tree. Today, we are going to spend some time together. Because you just might find that if you push just that little bit harder, they might acquiesce just like I did. They might go, okay. If we're going to be like Jesus, we are going to have to seek the lost. We're going to have to go looking, not very far. You'll find them everywhere. We need to go out there and do this work. We need to be the countermeasure to what Satan is doing right now. We need to go out there and bring people to Jesus. Folks, if you're not the greatest evangelist, like I'm not the greatest evangelist, bring them here. Get them here. Get them to church on a Sunday morning. Invite them here. Let us love on them collectively together. Invite some of your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray with you for this person because they're on your heart. And listen to me. This is not a time to re-up on your family members necessarily. Zacchaeus is up in a tree. Jesus had gone to the city for that purpose, I believe, to seek him out. He went looking for him. You guys are going to have to do some looking and acknowledging when that person pops up tomorrow and you go, oh no, not them. No, 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 Lord, not them. The Lord's going to say, yeah, yeah, they're up a tree. Call them down. Call them down. If we do that work next year, we'll be different. If we don't do that work, it will be the same thing. And I promise you the message will be the same. There's nothing else to be told but this. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. If you're going to be on mission with him, if you're going to be a follower, that's what it's got to look like for you. So I encourage you today, brothers and sisters, get right. As we worship, you get right. You make yourself ready to witness to whomever. You jump in there. Take those steps forward and call them down. Let's do that together.